So you all know Diane Calhoun, Joe Calhoun. Tim Valentine is the newest friend on the platform. He and his wife, Julia, on the front row. I have a amen. I have a friend who says the Holy Spirit gives you your friends, and he has definitely done that with you all, and we are so happy. Amen. And you guys with that jersey, wow. I just want to say that is off the chart. Thank you. And
I want to thank him for the pillow. Is this thing on?
Push your button.
Well, it's green.
Now it is.
Okay, now am I on?
There we go.
Can you see my color here? Green? Okay. All right. Hey, I don't know if you all saw, they gave us a package. We went and opened it up, and there's a pillow inside. And on that pillow was a scripture. Jeremiah 29:11 Inc. I'm assuming Joe and Diane had something to do with that, but yeah. Or we can, you know, give the Holy Spirit credit for it. You know, the Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. And I just want to start off today with thanking Joe and Diane. I met Joe and Diane when I was 19, almost 20. I had just come to know the Lord. Was very young in my walk with the Lord, and God placed them in my life. And Joe discipled me, and he mentored me, and he helped me in my businesses, and he helped me to grow into the man that I am today. And I'm so grateful for the friendship of 30 plus years that God's allowed us to share on this earth. And so. And I get to meet a lot of really cool people through Joe. I got to meet Zig Ziglar. I got to meet your pastor. So, and I put those in the same sentence there. We, yeah, clap for him. He's awesome. Last summer we came up to Joe. Why was I even in town last summer? I was in town for something. I was in town for something, and Joe said, "Hey, why don't we go to church on Wednesday night?" We came and we went to the men's group, which was awesome. I mean, I was just blown away by what God is doing in this church. And then we got to meet your pastor, and we sat out front and chatted, and this thing burst in Joe's heart. How many of y'all went to the deal Friday or Saturday? Okay, how many of you got something out of that? I did, and it was just incredible. Well, Joe, it burst out of that, and then 9 million emails later, you know, here we were going back and forth and tweaking. I mean, that kind of stuff doesn't happen by accident. It takes hard work. And the posters, I met the lady who made the poster, which is a little weirded out. How many of you guys were in the bathroom and that little guy was looking over the top of the thing at you here? That kind of weirded me out the first time I went in the urinal and that little guy was looking over the top at me, but I got used to it. But anyway, but I understand the ladies' bathrooms didn't have those, which is probably good because that would really be weird, but anyway. But all that stuff takes hard work. And the people, Brad, who brought in the Chick-fil-A, and the people who brought in the donuts and all that kind of stuff, and it's just amazing to see how an idea can be birthed, and by two men of God that are following the Holy Spirit, it comes to fruition, and I got blessed out of it. It was incredible, so thank you. Joe said we're going to do it again next year, so praise the Lord. So that's awesome.
So we're going to push play in a minute for Tim, and you all just hold on to your hat because he's got a message that you want to hear. And Joe and Diane and I are going to, we're going to kind of like be the backup group, but he is feature for this, and I hope the next time that we come, Julia will be featured at least with her harp, okay? So
she's a harpist, and she can play the harp. She plays Amazing Grace on her harp, and I get to hear it all the time, but it just makes me feel like what it's going to be like when we get to heaven, so.
There you go. Amen. So you didn't know this, did you? Sorry. So let's just pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for a fun morning. If we just stopped and went home, we'd have had a great day. Baptisms, Sunday school, chances to meet with you and to meet with one another. And now, Lord, we just ask that you really speak to us and that you do in us today what you want to do. Lord, come and do it in a mighty way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm looking at the clock, so we're going to skip straight down to Joe. Why don't you tell us what was the biggest thing you got this week? And Diane, and then Tim, we're going to put you on target for the dry bone, sir.
Yes, so Tim, as you were talking about the dry bones in our first service, God just spoke to me about the importance of me continually being refilled by the power of His Holy Spirit, which is an ongoing process. You know, Elisha and Elijah talked about a double portion. So there is a magnitude of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a little bit of Holy Spirit. There's a lot of Holy Spirit. There's a whole bunch of Holy Spirit. I need a whole bunch of Holy Spirit to be in the army that God's called me to be in. And I thank you for that message this morning.
And as you talked about the army, I was just reminded of the group that showed up Saturday, Friday and Saturday, willing to grow, looking out and knowing some of you with the different gifts and abilities. God didn't just raise up one person. He raised up an army to say, we're meant to be together. Like it says in Scripture, don't deny yourself staying away, but we need each other because we're given different gifts. We can be an army that goes out, not just one person, and how important it was that he lifted up a whole army, and that's what we're here for.
And now, go.
All right.
On.
Am I on?
On.
I'm on. Okay, very good. I know we've already prayed, but I want to pray again. Just close your eyes. And Lord, we love you so much. We are so grateful to be in your house today. Lord, as we start getting into your word, I ask, Father, that you would push out the things of the world. Lord, your word says what is bound on earth is bound in the heavenly. So, Father, we bind up everything that's not from you. Lord, we just ask that it be bound up in the precious name of Jesus. Any distractions, Father, we just bind them up in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask that as we hear your word today, like James tells us, that we not just be hearers of your word, Lord, but that it sinks to 12 inches from our minds down into our hearts, that we may be doers of your word also. And we're so grateful for that. And Father, I want to thank you especially for the praise and worship team, Lord, that ushered in the Holy Spirit. Lord, your word says that the Holy Spirit is ushered in by the praises of his people. And I thank you for this worship team, for the hours they put into making those songs sound like they're just natural and they're easy, and how much hard work they put into them, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you, Holy Spirit. You're welcome here today. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have a Bible, open it up to Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. Now, I'll give you a little history here. Ezekiel, when this was written, the nation of Israel was in trouble. Their army was a mess. The economic system was a mess. The whole nation of Israel was a mess. They were messed up. And Ezekiel, and I want to read this first part because I said it last time, but I left something out, and I want to make sure that I get the exact wording on it because I don't ever want to add to or detract from God's word. But this first part, it says, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. When I think of that scripture, I think of Joe Calhoun. The hand of the Lord is on Joe Calhoun, and the Spirit of the Lord leads Joe and Diane Calhoun. But the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, and the Lord led me out into a valley of dry bones. So here's this guy that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He leads him out into this valley, and he sees this valley full of dried up bones. Now, imagine that in your mind. That's about as dead as you can be, is being dried up bones. I'm a hunter. I have killed things before. And I've seen dead things that have flesh on them and have blood in them. That's one thing. When Lazarus died and the Lord brought him back, he wasn't dried up bones. When I see dried up bones, it's like there's no chance those things are ever coming back to life. And we talked about this in first service. I don't like horror movies. If I shoot something, I expect it to die. Okay? In horror movies, you shoot something, and then later on in the movie, it comes back and gets you. I'm not going to pay money to get scared, you know? I haven't seen a horror movie since 1980. Halloween was the last horror movie I ever saw, and I'll never see another one again because they scared me. Okay, you know? So here, these things are dead. They are dried bones. Not just bones, but dried bones. I believe every part of God's word is there for a reason. And the Lord speaks to him, and what does he say? He says, hey, can these bones live again? And again, last time I didn't look at the scripture, but I just did it from my mind. But he said, he led me back and forth amongst them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. So here are some dead people. And the Lord speaks to him and says, can these bones live? Dan, am I too far up? Is it good? Okay. And he says, can these bones live? Now, if somebody asked you a question, you saw a bunch of dried up bones, and I said, Marcus, you think those bones can live? What would you say? I love what he says. He said, well, Lord, you know. You know, it's like, what are you asking me for? You know, you're God. And you're asking me a question? This is kind of dumb. You know everything. But he said, Lord, you know. So the Lord tells him to prophesy or to speak to those dried bones. Kind of like a lot of pastors I know. Speaking to dried bones. Speaking to dead things. And believing that they can have life in them again. The Lord tells them to speak to the dry bones. And he does. And there's a great rumbling in the earth. And the bones start coming together and forming skeletons on the ground. That would weird me out, okay? If God wasn't with me, I would be gone. Okay? I'd be reaching for my Glock or my 12-gauge or something, because if God wasn't there, I would be in fear right now as these skeletons are coming together on the ground, a whole valley full of them. Imagine that. So he speaks to them. And then tendons start growing on top of those bones, and then muscles start growing on top of those bones, and then flesh starts covering the bodies. Now you've got a valley full of human bodies lying out there with flesh and bone, or flesh and blood on their bone, or flesh on their bones. But there's no life in them. They're laying there in the dust. There's no life in them. And the Lord commands him to call the four winds and breathe life into those bodies. I'm going to stop here for a second. Before I met the Lord, my life was represented by those dry bones. And I was with a Baptist preacher in Bethany, Oklahoma, Kevin McAfee. First time I heard a gospel message, my dried up bones had nothing. I was dead. I was as dead as you could be. I was in the world and enjoying it. And Kevin McAfee, the Holy Spirit led us. We grew up together, and it's a long story, but I went back from Omaha down to Oklahoma City. I was on a trip and stopped and found Kevin. And Kevin shared the gospel with me. And the first time I heard a gospel message, the first time that word was spoken to me, my dried bones came alive. And flesh came on those bones. But there wasn't a whole lot of life in me. Kind of like now, you got all these dead bodies laying out there in this deal. But there was no life in them. So he prophesied and said, call on the four winds and breathe life into these people. So he did. He did what the Lord called him to do, and life came into these people. Now, I have two speeds, on and off. I got saved, and I started going to church immediately. Bob and I were talking about this. I'm a deal guy, okay? I I know a good deal when I see it. And the first time I heard about this huge debt that I had racked up called sin, that I had lived my whole life in sin, and I knew I was a sinner. And Kevin asked me, he said, are you a sinner? I said, yeah, I'm actually pretty darn good at it. I knew I was a sinner. And I knew I had this debt. And when he explained to me that the wages of sin are death, it's like, how can I pay that? And so after I got saved, it's like, okay, I'm never going to sin again. And Kevin said, well, you just did because you lied. Because you will sin again. But here's the good news. God loved you so much, Tim Valentine, that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, to shed his blood so that your debt could be paid for. Everything you've racked up in the past, it'd be like if Joe had a store and I was in buying from Joe on credit and I rack up $100,000 in debt and Joe finally says, Tim, I've had enough, dude. You got to start paying for your stuff. And I said, Joe, I got good news for you, man. From now on, I'm only paying cash. Joe's going to say, that's great. I really appreciate that. We can use the money. But what about this huge debt that you have? I said, Joe, I can't pay it. And then it would be like somebody else coming in and saying, hey, you know what? I'll pay it for you. I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but that's a pretty darn good deal, or I thought it was anyway. So I was dried up bones. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. All of a sudden, I looked like a Christian. I didn't know what I was doing. I was a Christian. I had accepted Christ. There was no life inside of me. I needed somebody like your pastor here to breathe life into me. I needed to be discipled. I needed somebody to show me how to read a Bible, which is what Joe did. Joe got me into Proverbs. He got me into Psalms. He showed me, you know, just little bits. He fed me so that I could feed. And this body that had no breath in it, had no life in it, Joe and Diane ministered life into me. And the church I started going to, they ministered life into me. And that's what they did. So they breathed life in. Now you've got these people that look like Christians, that, well, they are Christians, but they have no life in them. And then he prophesied and life was breathed into them. Then they stood up and they became alive. Okay? That's what I did. And I started living my life for the Lord. And then the last part of that is they became a mighty army. And in an army, soldiers in an army, their job is to fight. And I'm a warrior. I'm a fighter by nature. So I can relate to this. The armor of God, you guys ever heard of the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6? It says, put on the full armor of God. Not part of it, the full armor of God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, when I first read that, righteousness to me meant perfect. I am not perfect. I said, how can I put on that garment? How can I put on that breastplate? Because I'm not perfect. And somebody explained to me that righteousness means in right standing with God. So I said, okay, I'm in right standing with God. I understand that. Even though I'm a sinner, I'm in right standing because I'm covered by the blood. So you put on the breastplate of righteousness. You take up the shield of faith to block off the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, why would God give us a shield to block off fiery darts from our enemy if the enemy wasn't going to shoot fiery darts at us? So if you're in a battle and a fiery dart comes zinging at you, don't freak out. Say, I must be heading in the right direction, okay? Because if I'm going this way and arrows are coming at me and I've got something God gave me to block it off, you know what? I'm probably going the right way. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the only offensive weapon. When Jesus was in the desert and the enemy was tempting him, Jesus would say, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. Yesterday we talked about writing our goals down, how important that is. It is written, it is written, it is written. And when Satan attacks me, I attack him with scripture, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation. I put on the helmet of my salvation is secure, not because of what I did. All I did was accept the free gift. And we had a guy come down after second service today, or after first service today. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He said, hey, I can relate to that. I'm a deal guy. I can relate to that. I've never read a Bible. I've never done that. And he accepted Jesus Christ. It was a sweet deal. His helmet of salvation is secure. girding our loins with truth, shodding our feet with the preparation of the gospel. So as an army, God gives us armor to go into battle. Now, the good news is the Bible says the battle belongs to the Lord. But if you look at me figuratively wearing this armor, if you turn and look back here, there's nothing to cover my backside. God does not expect me to run from a fight. He expects me to run to the battle, not from the battle. And so now, in Ezekiel, imagine these dried out bones and the Lord speaking to him, asking him to bring life to them. And they come together and they form skeletons and they get muscles and they get tendons, they get skin. Now they're dead. They're laying there. They look like people, but they're not, because there's no life breathed in them. And then the Lord tells the prophet to breathe life into them. Now, when I read that, I think of your pastor. I think of the life that he breathes into this church. I have met, you know, I have a lot of conviction in my life. There's a lot of convicted people in this congregation. Yeah. Yeah, some of you will get that on the way home. Yeah, the first time I came here with Joe, I thought, you know what? This is where Jesus would hang out. This is where, and you know what? This is where Jesus hangs out. Because you have a pastor who loves Jesus, who's letting Jesus work through him to breathe life into dry bones. Now, if you're sitting out here today, and we're talking about dry bones, we're talking about four different kinds of people. Dry bones to me represent people that are unsaved. Like this guy that came down today, he said, I've never opened a Bible in my life. He was as dead could be. All right, now he's alive today. He's got life breathed in him. And these two guys are going to hook up with him and disciple him so that he can grow and strengthen those muscles and become the warrior that God wants him to be. And he is a warrior. He's an ex-Navy SEAL. He is a warrior by nature, so he will be an incredible warrior for God. So that's the first group of people, dried up bones. Second group of people, I believe, are people that get saved, but nobody disciples them. The Bible says, go ye therefore into all the world, sharing the good news of the gospel and making disciples. Most of us in the church get half that right. And all we do is go out and share the good news, but we don't stick around and disciple them. So those people, I think, are keeping people out of the kingdom of God. If Joe and I are friends, and Joe becomes a Christian, and he starts going to church every Sunday, you know, because that's what Christians are supposed to do, but Joe still goes out with me, and we go out and do meth, and we get high, and we go screwing around doing all kinds of stuff on Saturday night, and he gets up on Sunday and goes to church because that's what he thinks a Christian is supposed to do, but he still has no life in him. I'm never going to come to know the Lord through Joe's life, because I'm going to look at Joe and go, he's an idiot. He has to get up and go to church on Sunday. I'm hungover. He's hungover, but I get to sleep in, and he has to go to church, okay? The only difference between Joe and I is he goes to church. Sitting in a church every Sunday morning doesn't make you a Christian any more than my car sitting in my garage makes it a, for me, sitting in my garage makes me a car or whatever. But so that second group of people, there's a scripture in the Bible in Revelations about, I'd rather ye be hot or cold, okay? And the Lord's saying, if you're lukewarm, I'm about ready to spew you out of my mouth. Because you know what? God's saying, hey, I don't want people that aren't alive for me. I'd rather you be cold, because you're keeping people from getting hot by looking at your life. That's that second group. The third group of people are the ones that are, hey, I have life in me. I'm coming to church. I'm reading the Bible, you know. And that's where I was at for a long time. And I'm soaking it up, and I'm saying, okay, Lord, I want to be more. I want to be more. And then the fourth group, after you get strong, those muscles get some strength in them, then you become a part of God's army, and you start fighting battles, and you start not just looking out for yourself, but you're able to help other people, and you're able to fight for them. So where are you today?
Where are you today? Are you dry bones? Where are we at? I'm pastor. Can I jump in and just do it? Okay. All right. So let's just wrap up here. Where are you today? If you want prayer because you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, we're going to play some music or something, and we want you to come down. Some of us will be here. If you want prayer because, you know what, maybe you've asked Jesus into your heart, but you need somebody to come alongside you to help you to become alive in Christ, because you look like a Christian. You come, you got a Bible, but you don't know, you're still living in the world. You got one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and you want to change that. Come down here and we'll pray for you. If you're one of those people in the third group saying, hey, I'm alive, but I want more. I want everything God can possibly give to me. Come on down. And if you're in the fourth group, come down and pray for some of these people. So let's play some music. All right, let's play some music. Let's go. Okay, Father, we just ask that every person here, Lord, you know their hearts, Father. I pray your Holy Spirit would speak to them. And if people need help, Lord, let them know that there's a group of people down here to help them and that you're here to help them. And Father, as they go forth today, Lord, I pray that every single person here, that your angels would be encamped around us as we go through our week, and you would strengthen us to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.